Hello, and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin, the pastor here at Neely's Bend, and we're so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. In today's sermon from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we see that the Son is the superior one, that the Son has a superior name. And the two reasons why the Son has a superior name is because it is a more excellent name, a name greater than the angels, but it's also the very name that the angels worship. The angels worship the Son, and so too should we. We hope that you enjoy the sermons here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church, and if you ever have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
As we continue working through the book of Hebrews, we're going to continue seeing the supremacy of Christ. If you have your copies of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 4 through 6 today. Verses 4 through 6. As I've stated, we're going to continue seeing the supremacy of Christ. And these first couple of chapters of Hebrews is ultimately establishing that Jesus is supreme. Last week, we saw that Jesus was supreme in many different ways and why He was supreme. And today, we're going to see that He is superior to the angels. Let's begin by reading Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. The Word of God says this, "Having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs." And in verse 5, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you'? Or again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear God, we thank You this morning for Jesus. We thank You for this morning for the blood of Jesus, Lord. And that by His blood we are washed. And God, this morning I pray that we all here this morning are washed in the blood of Jesus. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because it is by His blood that we are made righteous. It is by His blood that we can have that relationship restored with God and be in connection with Him and be saved. It is by His blood that we have salvation. God, we thank You this morning for the blood of Jesus. And Lord, as we come to the passage of Hebrews this morning, Lord, I help us to see that the name of Jesus is above every name, as we've already read in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Help us to worship Jesus as the angels worship Jesus this morning. God, during this time of sermon, Lord, I pray that You help me to proclaim Your truth and Your truth alone, Lord, to preach Your Word and Your Word alone. God, I just want to be a mouthpiece for Your kingdom, a vessel for You this morning. And God, I pray that You rid our minds of all distractions. And we focus on Your Word this morning and what it teaches. And God, if there's one here who doesn't know You, who's never believed in You, who's never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who's never had salvation, Lord, that today is the day that they will see their need for You and will believe and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What's in a name? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. William Shakespeare, in one of his most famous plays, Romeo and Juliet, uses this line when Juliet is speaking to Romeo. You see, Romeo had a family name that was considered enemy to Juliet's family name. And she was not allowed to see him due to his name. And Juliet here is saying, well, what's in a name? What's in a name? Why does the name matter? Which is why she goes on to say, that which we shall call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. Meaning that if we gave a rose a different name, it's still going to smell the same exact way. It changes nothing to what the rose is. Church, in our passage today, we're going to see that names matter. We're going to see a name that is more excellent than any other name. For the last several weeks, we've been discovering how supreme the Son Jesus is. In the first three verses, we saw that God spoke through His Son Jesus, and that the Son was greater than all the prophets that ever spoke in the Old Testament. The Son is greater than the prophets. And then last week, we discovered that the Son was greater than the prophets. I said that twice, didn't I? In the way that He is supreme. And the author of Hebrews gave us seven reasons why. Because Jesus, the Son, was heir of all things. He's the creator of all things, the upholder of the universe. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of the nature of God, the purifier, and that He made purification for sins, and He now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And today we will discover that the Son, after sitting at the right hand of God, became superior to the angels. Now there's a lot to pack in these verses. There's a lot to unpack in these verses, especially from verses 4 through 14. I originally had a plan to preach every one of these verses from verses 4 to 14. And there's a lot there. And as I began working on my sermon this week and prepping through and preparing, I was then realized I was drowning in my own study and that there's too much here for me to say in one sermon. And so I've decided to split it up into multiple sermons so we can see the superiority of Jesus and how He is so much more superior to the angels. If you go ahead and read ahead from verses 4 through 14, you will see that the Old Testament here is quoted seven different times. And every one of these quotes is ultimately to show that the Son is superior. And we're just going to slowly walk through each one, breaking down each one of them, discovering what they all mean for us. So as you can tell, verse 4 begins by saying that Jesus is superior to the angels. And then verse 5, for which of the angels did God ever say? Verse 6, let all God's angels worship Him. And so we begin to see that this passage has a lot to say about angels. The first two chapters talks a lot about angels. And to give us a little bit of historical context, during this time period, the Jews, in many ways, have become fascinated with angels. They were studying angels. During the time between the last Old Testament book that was written and the first New Testament book that was written, there were actually several different writings concerning the study of angels. And so we get this idea that the Jews were mesmerized with angels. They were curious. They were wondering, what is the deal with angels? And for some Jews, the ones who did not believe that Jesus, the Son, was the Messiah, they began to believe that Jesus, even Himself, was an angel. And this would have been a big problem for the early church. It is likely that the Jews were persuading the Christians to also see Jesus as an angel. And during this time of persecution, it would have been really easy for a Christian to go, you know, I don't want to be persecuted. If I just believe Jesus is an angel, then I'm okay. I won't be persecuted. But the author of Hebrews says otherwise. He says that the Son is superior to the angels, meaning that Jesus is no angel. Jesus is the Son of God. So what's in a name? Well, for one person, Jesus Christ, the Son, it's everything. My purpose in preaching this sermon to you today is for you to know that the Son is superior to the angels. That He has a name that is superior to the angels. So in our sermon, we're going to see two reasons why the Son is a superior name. The first reason we see that the Son is a superior name is because it is a more excellent name. The Son's name is more excellent. Read with me again, verse 4. Having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This verse here, verse 4, is a transition verse. If you remember last week, we had these seven little short phrases describing who Jesus was. And then we have a little transition here, saying that Jesus has become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then we have several quotes from the Old Testament describing and showing that Jesus is superior to the angels. So it's a transition. So the first thing we need to understand is what is the more excellent name that the author is speaking of. I've already hinted at it just a little bit, but I hope that you've picked up on it. But this more excellent name is not the name of Jesus. The more excellent name that the author is speaking of here is the Son. And just to clarify, before you guys all throw things at me, the Son is Jesus, okay? The Son. The Son. The name that is more excellent is the Son. And when I say it, I want you to know that it's a capital S. Singular Son. This is the name the author of Hebrews is speaking of. If we use our context clues and begin looking at surrounding passages here in Hebrews, if you go back to verse 2, it says that God has spoken to us by His Son. Singular, capital S. In verse 8, the author uses the word Son again to show how He's going to be on the throne forever and ever. And we see in verse 5 in our passage today when God says, "You are My Son." Singular, capital S. And we see all throughout the rest of the book of Hebrews the use of the word Son. And so it's clear that the name that is more excellent than theirs is the name of the Son. It is the name Son. And the author is going to use the word Son to prove that He is superior to the angels. Now I'm going to ask you a trick question here. Has the Son always been superior to the angels? Has the Son always been superior to the angels? Yes. As the eternal Son of God, He has always been superior to the angels. In the past, before His incarnation, the Son has always been superior to the angels. Last week, the author showed us that in many ways, because the Son is the heir, the Son is the creator, and the Son is the upholder. And He goes on and says that the Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. The author was establishing the deity of the Son, proving that He always has been the eternal Son of God. But now, He is telling us that the Son, as the God-man, the incarnate Son, has become much superior to the angels. Therefore, what we see here is that the eternal Son has always been superior to the angels, but because he assumed the form of a man, the Son of God, as the God-man, as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 teaches, but we see him for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus. The incarnate Son, Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, the God-man, was made for a little while lower than the angels. And it was because he had to be truly human, truly man, in order to be the perfect sacrifice for me and for you. He had to assume the form of a human. And in that, he became a little lower than the angels. But once that sacrifice was made, the God-man was exalted to the right hand of God and became superior to the angels. And his name is more excellent than theirs. And the author of Hebrews expounds on this even more. He begins to explain why the Son's name is more excellent. And the answer he gives us is this: when have I ever called an angel son? Capital S, singular son. If you look at verse 5 again. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? There are a couple of reasons why the author uses or cites these two verses from the Old Testament. The first citation comes from Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. And the second citation comes from 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. The first reason is that in the Old Testament, angels can sometimes be referred to as sons of God. Lowercase s, plural. Sons of God. We see this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. We also see it in Job chapter 1, verse 6, Job chapter 2, verse 1, and Job chapter 38, verse 7, where the phrase is sons of God is in reference to angels. But in these two verses cited from the Old Testament, there is one main difference, and it all has to do with that little s at the end of the word son. Angels are sons of God in the plural, while Jesus, the Son of God, in the singular. No angel has ever been called the singular Son of God. Which is why in Psalms 2, 7 is quoted here, says, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." And in 2 Samuel 7, 14, "I will be to him, singular, a father. And he shall be to me a son, singular." The point is that God is not the father to the angels. They may be sons of God, but God is not their father. He is their creator. God created the angels. But to Jesus, the Son, God is his Father. And that makes all the difference between angels and Jesus. The Son is a more excellent name because he is God's Son. As a matter of fact, it was an angel who told Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, these very words. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." An angel was telling Mary that her son would be the Son of God. Even after the birth of Jesus, some 30 years later, when Jesus would begin his ministry, he gets baptized by John the Baptist. And directly after being baptized, he comes up from the water and immediately, as Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Church, Jesus is the Son of God, and that makes Him far more superior to the angels. And it makes His name as the Son more excellent than theirs. But wait, there's actually just a little bit more. Not only is Jesus the Son of God, but He's also a son of David, the king. These two citations from the Old Testament here, if I go back to it right quick, there it is. These two citations from the Old Testament, if you go back and do a deeper study, you will begin to see that they are a prophecy of a son to come from the lineage of David. A king that would come, a future king, a Davidic king. And Jesus, the Son of God, as seen in the genealogy of Matthew, is also a son of David, in the sense that David is his great, 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 great grandfather. The son of David is the rightful son to the throne. The son of David is the son who would be the king over all creation. The son that is now sitting at the right hand of God, ruling, reigning over all creation. And He is being worshipped. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is royalty, and that He's the Son of David, fulfilling the prophecy that a son would come from the line of David. The second reason that we see here, that the name is superior, that the Son is a superior name, is that the Son is worshipped by the angels. He's being worshipped by the angels. Read with me verse 6 again. And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." The firstborn is the Son. The Him here is the Son. The author here again cites a verse from the Old Testament. And this one is a bit tricky, because some scholars think that it is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. And others think it's Psalm 97:7. So there are two different verses that could be being quoted here, being cited. And regardless of which verse is quoted, the point still remains: all God's angels worship the Son. We must not forget that the main focus, the main point of the sermon, is that the name of the Son is superior to the angel. It's a more excellent name, as we just saw. And now in verse 6, we see that the Son is worshipped. And because He is worshipped, His name must be superior to the angels. The Son is the one who gets the glory. The Son is the one who gets the praise. The Son is the one who gets the honor, not the angels. And that is because they themselves are worshiping the Son. The one who is greater, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, the one who sits at the throne ruling over creation. I think oftentimes we find ourselves amazed by angels, don't we? We find ourselves mesmerized by angels, fascinated with them. Angels are amazed at the Son. Angels are mesmerized by the Son. Angels are fascinated by the Son. What about you? Are you more amazed by angels? Or maybe it's something different. Maybe you're more amazed by your spouse than you are Jesus. Maybe you're more amazed by your kids than you are the Son. Maybe you're more amazed by your very own self than the Son. Maybe you're more amazed by some celebrity than the Son. Church, there is nothing more amazing, nothing more worthy of our worship and praise than the Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns and rules over all creation and is sitting at the right hand of God. Because His name is superior. Who are you amazed by? Who are you worshiping this morning? In Revelation chapter 19, John hears a loud voice. Actually, it's not a loud voice. He hears loud voices. And these voices are all giving praise to God. And then this angel in verse 9 tells him to write something. And then in verse 10, we read what happens. Revelation 19:10 says this, "Then I fell down at the feet to worship Him." This is the angel that I was talking about in verse 9. The angel's there. The angel tells him to write something. And then John falls down to worship the angel. "But the angel said to me, 'John, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God. Worship God, for this is the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. John had fallen down to worship this angel. And the angel quickly responded and said, "No! No! I'm not the one you should be worshiping. Worship God. Worship the Son. I'm just a fellow servant, just like you are. Worship God." Church, the angels, heavenly beings, are worshiping the Son. And if they could tell you who to worship, they would look at you right now, just as they looked at John, and they would tell you to worship the Son. Is your life one that lives in worship of God? Our mission statement here at Neely's Bend is for us to live in worship of God. Every single part of our lives, every aspect of our lives, every area of our lives is to live in worship of God. Who are you worshiping? Last week, I asked the question, what areas of your life is Jesus not supreme over? And I hope this past week you were able to take the opportunity and just try to figure out what areas in your life Jesus was not supreme over. But now I want to ask you this question. Where in your life is Jesus, the Son, not being worshipped? Where in your life are you not worshipping the Son? What part of your life does Jesus get pushed aside and you begin worshipping something else? Could be many things for you. It could be your job. You get to your job and you've been working so diligently, so hard, that you just forget everything about Jesus. It could be your kids. You get so focused and caught up in trying to raise your kids to be the best possible kids in the world that you devote all your time to them. Your life revolves around your kids. Kids are not a bad thing. Don't hear me when I say this. Kids are splendid. Kids are great. Kids are a blessing from God. But they're not the center of our lives. Jesus is. And when we begin worshiping our kids more than we worship Jesus, we're not worshiping the King. We're not worshiping the Son. The same can be said about so many other things in life. What is it for you? Church, Jesus is superior to the angels. How much more so should He be superior in every single part of our lives? Jesus is worthy. He is worth all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, excuse me. He deserves every single breath of praise. because He paid the price for you and for me. In our sermon today, we have seen two reasons why the Son is a superior name. We've seen first that it's a more excellent name because the Son is a Son of God, is the Son of God, not a Son. He is the Son of God, while the angels are creations. And secondly, we saw that the angels worship the Son, that the Son is being worshiped, showing us that the Son is a superior name. Church, the name of the Son is far superior than any other name. And it isn't only here in the book of Hebrews that we see that. Marty read Philippians chapter 2 earlier and stole a little bit of my sermon, I guess you could say. I'm not mad by that at all. I think it's great. It just shows how the Lord is working in this church and how He's working in this service. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And verse 9, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth," and in verse 11, "and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is why the Son is far superior to the angels. This is why the Son is sitting at the right hand of God. His name is exalted because He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let me tell you, no angel did that. No other angel has ever done that. No other angel has ever died on a cross. It was Jesus, the Son, that died on the cross. It was Jesus, the Son, that paid the price for you and me. And one day, at some point in the future, every knee will bow, every name will confess that Jesus is Lord. The Son's name is great because of what He has done for you and I. The Son's name is superior because He sacrificially went to the cross of Calvary and gave His life so that we could have salvation. And so what we see here is that salvation only comes through the Son, and only through the name of the Son. And Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says this: "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Church, salvation only comes through the name of the Son. It is only through the name of the Son that we are saved. That is the name we worship. That is the name that gives salvation. That is the name by which we are saved. And this is the name that gets us through all of life. This is the name that gives us strength. When you're feeling weak and frail, remember the name of Jesus. When you're feeling depressed and sad, remember the name of Jesus. When you are feeling angry, remember the name of Jesus. When you are anxious and having anxiety, remember the name of Jesus. When you have a coworker or a boss who is pushing you to the limits and you're losing your patience, remember the name of Jesus. When you're at the restaurant sitting there and your waiter or waitress is waiting on you and they're taking forever to bring you your second drink, remember the name of Jesus. When your spouse, when your kid, when your family member or friend or person causes you to lose patience, remember the name of Jesus. When you struggle with addiction, remember the name of Jesus. When you are feeling tempted and about to step into sin, remember the name of Jesus. And when you do sin, and when you do fail miserably hard, when you fail to glorify the God of the universe, remember the name of Jesus. When you sin and you fail, I want you to know that His salvation is great, but His forgiveness is mighty. We can go to Jesus in any and every situation in life. In every high, in every low, remember the name of Jesus. Because He's greater than any high we will ever have, and He's greater than any low we will ever have. And He gives us the strength to make it through every situation in life. And in every one of these moments, when we remember the Son, in every one of these moments in our lives, when we remember the Son, we worship Him. We worship Him. We worship the Son. Today, maybe you are here and you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You've never called upon the name of the Son for salvation. You see, in the very beginning, God created the world. He created a good world. It was a perfect world, and there was no wrong within it. And God created man, and He gave him one command. But yet man would mess that up. They sinned against God by taking a part of that tree. They messed up. And it ultimately caused sin to be transcending all humanity. From that very first sin, it made every one of us be conceived in sin, to have a nature of sin. And because of their sin, they were separated from God. They were condemned to death. But God in His greatness, but God in His goodness, God in His kindness sent a Son. Let me rephrase that. Sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. And today, I want you to know that if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are eternally separated from God. But the moment that you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the moment that you believe in the name of Jesus, you will be saved and that relationship is restored. And you can have life, eternal life. In the Son, eternal life in heaven, eternal relationship with God. And that only comes through the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, or actually verse 10, it says, "So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This morning I want you to know that at some point in the future, whether you are a believer or whether you don't believe, we will all be bowing down at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him. We will all at some point confess Jesus as Lord. Why not do it now? Why not do it now? This morning, if the Lord is calling you, if the Lord is drawing you, if the Lord is inclining your heart to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, take that step of faith and believe. Trust in the name of Jesus. And you will be washed in the blood, made righteous, because we can't do it on our own. If that's you this morning, during this time of invitation, just come down and let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it means to believe in Jesus. Talk about what it means to follow Jesus. If that makes you uncomfortable as you're walking out this on your way out, and I'll be standing there. Say something then, and let's have a conversation about this. Let's have a conversation about this. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that the Son is a more excellent name. We thank you that the Son is far superior to the angels. God, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross, Lord, for us and for our salvation. God, in every moment of our lives, help us to remember the name of the Son. Lord, in every moment of our lives, help us to worship you. Help us to give you the glory and give you the praise and give you the honor. God, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.